electroplacer is the and it's it, this is hard work, both intellectually and actually to get this into the central core of our existence. This is very difficult work, and it's difficult in product study. From all the sides, this is difficult. I'll explain what I mean now. We're talking about exclusivity. We're talking about the relationship with Hashem, and a Yiddishkeit has to be exclusive. That means you have to cut off everything else. And that's not so quick to do. That's not something that you can do overnight. It's not something you should do overnight. It's not something you should do very quickly. We see that in the Baal Tshuva Yeshiva. A guy comes into Yeshiva, and 3 days later, he's already externally, he's got all the things in place. We know what that looks like. It doesn't look very normal. Doesn't look very nice. And it eventually leads to all sorts of real serious problems. The psychologist told me once, he had a client, I remember, was a boy or a girl, and he was okay, very depressed. So he asked this guy, tell me, what do you enjoy doing? What's your favorite pastimes? So he said, he liked hiking, like going in the wilderness and hiking. He said, so when was the last time I went hiking? He said, well, I'm about Chuba, when I went to Yeshiva. What else did you enjoy doing? And I enjoyed reading a good novel. When was the last time you read a good novel? When he became a Valtshuva. And on, if you ask the questions, you know, there's no surprise that he's best, because he just took everything that he had, threw it out the window, and he's got nothing to replace it with. You can't just take everything that you've grown up with. You know, you're 30 years old, or 40 years old, 50 years old, 60 years old, or more, and suddenly you realize, wow, you know, there's a lot of Deutschkeit in me, and there's a lot of this, and my pleasures are coming from non-Torah sources. I need to get rid of them and only have Torah sources. That's gewaldig. You're going to get depressed, you're going to get miserable. You have to be able to do this and increase your levels of simcha. You're trying to be able to simcha with two levels. So the body also has to come to the party. That's a big discussion about the body. The body can't get thrown out the window either. We see the Torah insists that the body gets his dues as well. He has to also get paid his salary. So there's a very complicated thing how to do practically. But even before you get there, just to accept the hashkafa of it, is very challenging. There's a lot of resistance to it, and therefore they're the two dynamics. The one is you know, to be so kitsoni, not to be so extreme. What's wrong with a little bit of this pleasure? Just 1 second. So just give me 1 second, guys. Sorry about that. You see the distractions everywhere. Fine. So then there's a resistance on that side. Why do you have to be so kitsoni? Why do you have to be so extreme? And then there's resistance on the other side, is you're becoming too extreme, you're becoming too kitsoni. It's very hard to find that delicate balance here. Those of you who knew Rukhtaba, know Gedol Yisrael, you know that they're very into an exclusive relationship with Hashem. Yiddishkeit is all-consuming, and yet they know exactly what's going on in the world. You can talk to them. If Tabo was a big businessman, he was involved in the business world in America, New York. And at the same time, when you're with him, he was completely with Hashem. There was no dripping in that wasn't connecting to Hashem. And he had no Goyish aspirations whatsoever. And yet he was able to function very normally, very besimcha in the big wide world. That takes a lot of hard work. That's not poshut. And unfortunately, we've seen people who take this the wrong way, and it can be very, very unpleasant. It can often just be a manifestation of obsessive personality things or whatever. It's important to speak to someone who's objective, somebody who understands what this avoider is. They can test and see where you're holding this. But at the end of the day, it's a very personal journey. Avraham Avinu didn't have a Rebbe, he didn't have parents, and he had to kind of discover himself for himself. And that's really the challenge in the avoider. Yeah. So I'm just making that as a very important hakdama to what we're dealing with. Fine. So we're on Daf Kuf Chav Ches. We spoke a little bit about the scholar. The scholar wasn't about throwing everything out the door. scholar was just there making some small changes, introducing a few a more worldly aspects, and same time we saw the payers. We see the payers today of our scholar. 90% of the Jewish people have done anything but Jewish, the assimilation, the inheritance of Israel. I'm going to talk about what's going on here with the total ignorance and lack of knowledge and animosity towards anything that's got any Zigif Kedusha. Those are the fruits of that Haskalah. Okay.
What do you mean when you say Haskalah?
So the Haskalah was it's a general term used to describe the movement that started round about, I'm not putting this down exactly, but round about the First World War, started a bit before, where people started suggesting that certain changes needed to make to Yiddishkeit. Was the beginnings of the reform movement. It was called the Haskalah. It was people who wanted to introduce more secular knowledge into the yeshivas. The famous, notorious success of the Haskalah was the closing of the Volozhin Yeshiva. They went to the authorities and got the authorities to insist that they learned Russian in the, or Polish, lozoche what it was at the time, Russian, Polish, in the Yeshiva, and they threatened them if they don't, they're going to close the Yeshiva and whatever. And eventually the Netziv of Chaim was there, instead of introducing a foreign language at the Yeshiva, they closed the Yeshiva. That was the work of the scholar. They wanted to introduce a more, let's say, a modernization of Yiddishkeit. So that's a collective term for that. If you want to know where the roots of the Haskalah really were, the shoresh of that was in Greece, was in Yovan. That's Chanukah. Those are the Misyavnim who wanted to carry on. You could carry on being a Fungi, carry on being what you want, but just introduce a bit of Greek culture into your life. So that's really where that came from. It wasn't like with a Christian, you know, either kissed the cross, bow down to the, you know, whatever, or we're going to chop your head off. But if you convert, then you become a big hero. That wasn't the case. The case was you carry on doing what you want, carry on doing from just a few small minor changes, you know, just change your education system a little bit, introduce this, change that, make a few, you know, like really mummish, insignificant changes. That was the work of the scholar. That's called the scholar movement. The leaders of the scholar movement, the reform grew out of that, and a lot of the secularism you see today grew out of that. So that's when we, I mean, there's books been written about this. I'm just giving you the tamtis. That was the Haskalah movement, and we're still dealing with it today. Both Klali and in ourselves, we also have a chalek of that modality inside of us. Okay. So I'm at the bottom of Kuf Chav Ches. But the reign of Lacha Churban Yad in Europa, כמה עודים מוצולים מאש וקימו את העם ואת היהדות בכל שיכולו. After Churban Europe, after the Holocaust, there came a few of the remnants that came out of the fires and started rebuilding Klal Yisrael to the best of their ability. And the Kimu Gol Shalom the Torah. They built a generation on their backs. We exist today. They built a generation of people living Torah. Dorshan Anoshim Baal HaMadrega. Those Amalmash grew up to be great people today. Medakim, the mitzvahs, Kalab HaChomura. We have Boch Hashem today all over the world, an unbelievable Torah network, Malkum Torahs all over the world that were built on the back of a few rare individuals. The Rav Aaron Kotlers, the Rav Moshe Feinsteins, the Rav Simcha Wassermans, the Hasidish courts, bells, all of them that the handful of the Klal Yisrael that survived the Holocaust, who came up and rebuilt with unbelievable Mesilas Nefesh, the Torah world today, to see what we have, flourishing, unbelievable world with mitzvahs and Torah and very, very beautiful Torah world today. Kimazu Shalimeinu, Kimi Pele Hashgacha Cheshosa Doreinu Vishara Lo Laharim Es Ruchnias Doreinu. One of the wonders, he says, of Ashgacha, the fact that after the Holocaust, there was kimat nothing left. You look 50 years later, 60 years later, and you see what grew out of that is beyond comprehension. It's like, wow, like, how did that happen? And allowed for the unbelievable growth of the spiritual growth of this generation. Ulam da'aka gamma yetzhara oyrev lanu laskilenu bedoze. The Eitzara didn't sit back and say, okay, fine, do whatever you want, we'll give you a bit of a breather. No, no, no. He challenged us with a whole new challenge. He challenged us with the enticements of the Goyish world, and dragged us into Nisoin of don't have a foreign god. Now, we're not talking about a foreign god in terms of bowing down to trees, whatever. We'll see now what we do. But the Yetzer Hara got very involved in from the daily Shushimas. He said the Yetzer Hara had always been external. The Yetzer Hara had always come. We're going to speak about it at length. The Yetzer Hara came from outside of us. It was the communists, it was the Christians, it was all sorts of external isms. Today, there's none of that left. None of that left. There's no ideologies out there that challenge us. So what's the struggle? The struggle is internal. The Yetzer Hara is not coming from outside to fight us. The Yetzer Hara is inside. We'll pick that up and expand. We'll see what that means. B'chon amlam sheishnam biluim ataros hakodesh. There is a biluim. What's biluim? Entertainment, culture, whatever. That is ataros hakodesh. Ulam yesh ledat lahachdir lelev shegam ayim mistatep hagam. Even those things, I'm not sure what he's talking about, but I'll tell you what I think he's talking about, and if he's not talking about that, then this is what I'm talking about. Is there's a lot of kosher stuff which is you have to be very careful, because in there is a inbuilt problem. Kosher movies, for example, they have such a thing. They have movies, kosher movies. Kol elu reich goy noydef meh. Many things like that. Many, many kosher things. I was going to mention it as well. Asatarim b'machshev. Ha-ma'amorim b'itonim v'tmonot v'pursamot ha-mitzoynazrot al-taros ha-kodesh. There's movies, kosher movies, there's all sorts of stuff in newspapers you read. More dangerous than anything is the blogs on the internet. Anybody who's got any opinion about anything, get up there and write stuff like he's an authority, and it's kulu sheker v'apokalypsis. And people read it and they take it in, they believe it, and people are arguing back and forth and saying it, boom, 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 everyone's a big mumchit today and everything. And all that is more and more dangerous. The adverts, we've spoken about this in this vibe many, many times. If you look at the advertising is designed to make you go after everything that you don't need and you don't want, and you'd be better off not having. And it's magia lecha yoteh, words like that, which are mamash treif, magia lecha. It goes to the mamash core of what a Jew is. Lo magieli klum. We in this world tell a karosatay for what we have. Asamach b'chelko. And yeah, they're telling you, you can't live without my product. You don't have my product, you'll be miserable. You buy my product. That's called charedi advertising. As well, kafem is devara oilam. This bring a wind on the back of it. It brings plagues. Hey, masapim lanu ala mitrachesh b'rechov ha'amoni. We read all about what's going on in the Goyish world. They bind us, they connect us to what's going on in the world of the Goy, and what's going on out there, and it mechabez us. Knowing what's going on in the world is not a problem. Nothing wrong, of course. You know what's going on in the world, to govern for you, to plan, whatever. But you don't want to be mechuba to what's going on in the world. As I know, Amnam lo chashim b'cha, ki akol mevucha, v'gam neba b'loshen neki. We're not worried about it because it's in a kosher newspaper and it's been checked. The Vada Ruchni that supposedly checks everything, and also that they don't use any bad language, and there's no princess in there. The pictures are all very frum. That's not correct. Etzem ha'uvda shemachapsim makeres the tanu bubilay mechutz the tanu shiyesh lanim Hashem v'sparat. This is what I mentioned earlier. This line here can be you have to be very careful with this line. The etzim uvda that you're looking for other sources of pleasure outside the pleasure you have with Hashem. Vze atzmai anu metapchim ahada the dvarim shemekoyim berucho. That's the draw. That's the breach of the exclusivity. That's the breaking the chayiv. Zu psila leover agoy leover anoisa volov. That's going after, that's searching and going and looking for all your pleasures and annals and all the havolim of the Goyish secular world. El Avre Pekach. So that's something that can drag the nation down into the lowest levels. So this is a big statement. That's why I set it up before. You have to be very careful how you deal with this. You're going to get no pleasure from anything that you sometimes do get some pleasure from, because we all come from wherever we come from, we all have what we have. Suddenly you find this out, suddenly you discover this new idea, and you have to be very careful how you go about dealing with it. You can't be Muslim and depressed because you still have shaykhs to that world. At the same time, you can't just dump it and move away. You have to develop a very careful process of how you go from real to ideal. Remember, real, ideal process, so that's very relevant here. Get in touch with where you really are, who you are, own it, admit it. Know what the ideal is. The ideal is what he's talking about. And then set about going one small celebratory step at a time towards the direction we're trying to go to. Will you ever get there? I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. That's not the point. The point is, will you enjoy the journey? Ein oid mevadoi. That's really what we're talking about here. Ein oid mevadoi. Rak hakesh imo yisparach nechshav kemohut hayadut hamakorit. What's the essence of authentic Judaism? Ein oid mevadoi. There is nothing other than Hashem. It's Makora Isha. Ha'oineg v'asimcha lein nintzor rak b'keshim Rabbani Shalom b'keshim kiu mitzvasot ba'ava. The pleasure, the simcha that we want to get, the tainuk, is only through the relationship we have with Rabbani Shalom and with these kiu mitzvahs ba'ava. Now, a person will say, so what am I supposed to do? Stop doing everything I'm doing, or send the Beis Midrash and say Tehillim the whole day, or learn a bit of Mishlei, and then I'll get all my tach. No, not at all. Carry on leading your life. You got to work. Why are you going to work? It's also mitzvah. That's pleasure, no? There's an enormous simcha knowing that you're making ishtadlis, you're making a mitzvah, and you're doing what the Bore Olam told you to do. But what's wrong with that? When you go to the makolit to go buy food, why are you buying food? To sustain you, or even other people. There's a chesed to buy food. Everything we do, that's all you do. You carry on doing what you're doing. You don't do any yisurim, but you carry on doing what you're doing. You're connected and link it to Hashem. When you eat a chocolate bar, eating a chocolate bar is a very physical thing. Take the pleasure from that chocolate bar. You enjoy it. You see it as a chesed from Hashem that He gave you this resource. You can work better. You can function better. When you go home, you're more of a simcha, so you're a better person when you've had a chocolate bar before you go home. So then that's cool. That's all part of the Ein Oid Mevadoi. But there's nothing. That's the whole point. There's nothing outside the Ein Oid Mevadoi, but it requires this to connect it to what you're doing, to connect that to the Bnei Shalom. You can eat a chocolate bar like a dog eats a chocolate bar. You can eat a chocolate bar like a malach eats a chocolate bar. We don't want to do either of those. Malach and Bnei chocolate bars. We want to eat a chocolate bar like a Jew's supposed to eat a chocolate bar, connecting the physical to the spiritual. Take the lowest form of pleasure, you can connect it to the highest level of pleasure. Yisaneg al Hashem, how? Whatever you do. It doesn't have to become, that's what I'm saying, when it starts looking weird, then monastic, then you have to know that you're missing the point, that's not about Yiddishkeit. Yiddishkeit is about carry on doing what you're knowing, be normal, but at the same time know and understand what's going on around you. This is a shift. And you can take so much of what you do in your mundane life and turn it into, that becomes a way to Hashem, that becomes Kulu Ruchni. So that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to mekasha everything we do to the Kosh Baruch Hu, the back of Ein Oid Mevadoi. It doesn't mean you leave and you run away from everything you're doing. No, whatever you're doing happens to be connected to Hashem, but you have to connect it. It doesn't happen automatically. It has to be done with concentration, with kavana. You have to think about it. And now he carries on. Obviously, what I said, but he's saying here that even in the mitzvahs we're doing, the Shabbos, the Yom Tovim, the Limudat Torah, the mitzvahs, whatever we're doing, we have to find pleasure in that. We find pleasure in that. Anachnu am b'dishnei oineg. Lo chasorim lanu tanugim amiti meshalanu. We're not lacking our own authentic pleasures and enjoyments in our Yiddishkeit. Whatever is not ours, whatever is not authentic kedusha, also who the gabenu v'chomo lanu ki isa eshesish. That's an extreme statement. That's what he says. It's almost like eshesish. It's like in our relationship with Hashem, we're the color of Hashem. Obviously, we're the color, so we can't be over the whatever. I suppose we could, But forget about what I just said. But the issue of Eishes Ish, that's how you have to look at this. It's a betrayal of your relationship with Hashem. We're the color of the bride of Hashem, and we have to avoid all external relationships outside the relationship we have with Hashem. This is big stuff. This is not small stuff. This is, I'm talking about practically. The Ashkof of this is posh. You don't have to know the whole of Shas to know what he's saying. It's not a posh. Philosophically, it makes perfect sense. But the practice of it, the reality of this, the Yetzirah connected, this is not small, not small stuff. Choshev lahadgish, the chaseinu, the ta'anugois chitzoinim, shem makoyim ha'ilam ha'goy, ein nafkumine, im adibu bedove yofe ha'mucha, b'mayim ha'chochma o b'ksilois. That's another qualification here, another aspect, is I'm talking about external pleasures that are rooted in the secular, in the goyish world. It doesn't mean if you're talking about something that's very beautiful or something that's very ugly. You're talking about something that's very clever or something that's very stupid. It doesn't matter if you're talking about very scientific things, or you're talking about disgusting things. This is something you have to know. Anachnu lo shaychim l'chochma sagoyim v'tanu gaseyim v'v no shaychis l'chochma v'goyim v'tanugim. Yesh lanu chochma meshelanu. We have our chokhmah and we have our tanugim. Kol eile nitna lanu mimisha kol shelo, which is all given to us from somebody who has everything. Ani ledoidi vedoidi li. Einanu poinim le'elzar, we don't turn to foreign gods. Einu mesirim es libeinu me'oishe shelanu, we don't turn our hearts from our simchat pleasure that we have. V'matzav zeh ma'anu litkasher et krav lo'ilam v'shigoseinu. What do we have to do? Connect ourselves to the world and all this mishugas and all its ridiculousness. Now that's big stuff. That's like I said, I can hear you already in the heads. People are saying that's very concerning. That's what's wrong with the Buddha Goyish Chochma? What's wrong with learning from them? About if you want to learn how to fix a dripping faucet or to fix your car, we're not talking about that. We're talking about where the pleasure comes from, where the connection comes from, where I'm interested in. It's manifests itself in many, many different areas. I'm not going to go into this now. It's a big subject and it needs to be clarified, otherwise it becomes controversial. A lot of this stuff in marriage today, many, many things in marriage today has nothing to do with Judaism. We see lots of divorces, chas v'chalil, in the Jewish world, that people say there's a problem with Jewish marriage, we have to make this change, that change, in change. Nothing wrong with Jewish marriage. Jewish marriage is 100%. The Torah is way of doing shidduchim and of marriage, mayachos. The problem is goyish stuff's impacted and entered into that world, aspirations, decisions, how we do marriage counseling, a lot of stuff has coming from the goyish world, and it has nothing to do with the Jewish marriage. There's just no resonance there. And many, many areas, Parnassa, this comes up, what you can do, what you can't do. It's more relevant now in this COVID thing. What do you open up? You open businesses, even though this is kind of fascist. What do you open? What don't you open? When do you open? What about the schools? Do you send your kids to schools? These are big questions that come into this subject as well, because many decisions are made based on very non-Torah hashkafas, and sometimes they too machmir because it goes against Torah. You have to know, what does the Torah say about things? What's the Torah's view on this particular subject that I'm dealing with, whatever it is, whether it's marriage, chinuch, for example. One small example, we've spoken about this very often. Rabbi Tzia Solomon brought out a sefer on chinuch from his Vaadim. And the Adama there discusses why you shouldn't read books on chinuch and why books on chinuch actually can do more damage than they're not. He explains why his book is different, because it's not teaching the chinuch, it's teaching the klalim. Once you understand first principles, then you'll know how to apply it for yourself. But he says, why did the idea there? They discovered that the way we teach boys how to read, as opposed to the way we teach girls how to read, the girls learn to read much quicker. The system, the old system that we have from Chazal, from the Seiris, of how we teach the boys in Cheder from Mechina up, how to read, it takes them much longer to learn how to read than the girls. So Chaval, all that time, we could teach them how to read as quickly as the girls, and Mabaya. So that's what they started doing, and we lost a whole generation of it. Why? Because the goal of teaching the kids Aleph Beis isn't to teach them how to read. In Cheder, we're not teaching kids how to read. There might be a side benefit that if you teach them like that, they will eventually learn how to read, and the vast majority do. But the goal is not to teach them how to read. The goal is to instill in them the kedusha of an aleph and the kedusha of a base. When we teach our kids Vayikra when they're 5 years old, they don't understand Kabbalah, they don't understand anything. We don't understand it today, we don't understand Vayikra. So why are we teaching it to them? Teach them things they can use. No, because the neshama needs nourishment. It's like a vitamin. You know, when you take a vitamin pill, you don't chew it, you don't suck it, you just swallow it, and it does what it has to do. It's the same with a lot of Torah. The only ones that knew how to do that properly was Chazal. And Chazal tell you, this is the way you teach a kid, this is how we start teaching the kids to read. That's what you do. It's taken him a long time to learn how to read. Fine, so find him a reading teacher to teach him reading on the side. But you don't stop teaching him Aleph Beis the way Chazal taught us how to teach Aleph Beis, because you lose the neshama there. There are many, many things like this I'm saying. So we brought all the pedagogical, psychological, secular things to the fore, and using those to now educate our children. But those people don't know that there's a neshama here. It's like the neshama's malnutrition, because you don't know that you have to feed the neshama as well. That's pshat. One of the pshatim anyway, of Chochmah b'goyim tamim, of a Torah b'goyim al tamim. They don't have Torah. So when it comes to Torah, then you need to go to the Rambam, they need to go to Chazal, and then Hilchos Talmud Torah to know how to teach a child properly. Things are changing. Everything. That's been Klal Yisrael's survival mechanism through the whole Golus. He's not changing the Torah 1 millimeter and yet applying it to all sorts of new circumstances. That's been the purview of the Golus Yisrael since time immemorial. There's new situations on the ground. You have to apply the Torah to those new situations, not change the Torah. The Torah is eternal. The Torah doesn't have to be changed. You have to look for the principles there and apply it. How do you apply? I mean, it's amazing to see. You listen to Reb Zilberstein's medical shirim or whatever, and Reb Tetz brings the many down, and you say, there's a halacha sefer on medical stuff, Reb Tetz. You just see how unbelievable. You see how the Torah addresses some of the most complex medical shalas today, without moving a millimeter from Torah. And that's what we have to do, whether that's in Shidduchim, whether that's in medicine, whether that's in all sorts of stuff. And also, many big challenges today. Hilchos Ribis, how it works today with international trading and that. It's not so partial. And yet the Torah has always found a solution to every problem that there is. And that's the, in Kashrus today, you know, the modern world is turned Kashrus on its head. And yet we find solutions to all those problems without changing the Torah. That's what we're talking about here. We're not talking about throwing everything out the door and go live a primitive, noble, savage kind of existence, don't have electricity, don't have... It's clear that's not what the Torah is saying. The Torah has a solution to all these kind of problems. And we don't have to go look. Sometimes, I just want to let you know, just for practical purposes, the halacha is you can use certain goyish remedies in psychology and stuff like this, called zman, they're not awesome. There are some that say you shouldn't, the others, the boys can say you can use it, just make sure that it's got nothing to, that's not awesome. And you'll find a lot of the ones that are true, you'll find a source of them in Torah. I know somebody who's never ever been able to find a source in the Torah for any of the psychological methodologies he uses. So we need to know that Baruch Hashem, the Torah has everything we need. And that's where we need to go look in our lives, first of all, for our eitzes. As we mentioned, we have 630 eitzes, and also for our pleasures. The tanugim, start slowly, start small, and start making those subtle shifts, even just becoming aware of it. Even if you don't change anything, but you just become aware of this hashkafa, then you start asking yourself, one second, this is Jewish, this is not Jewish, where is this coming from? Is this a Torah-based yesod, or is this something that I got from the world out there? Is this social pressure? Where is this coming from? You'll see, it's amazing. Just becoming aware of it really changes you. So that's what I want to talk about today. And Mitzvah will get back tomorrow from wherever I happen to be. But I know I'm probably sitting here where I am. Right now, that's probably the safest place for everybody. And you take good care, look after yourselves. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Roger.
Question. Okay, yeah.